A resource to sharpen the response to an abducted child. Hello, I'm Richard Pyatt, and this is Legally Speaking. When they happen, child abductions are devastating to a family and, in fact, to entire communities. A kidnapped or missing child is often cited as a parent's worst nightmare. And fortunately, law enforcement has created a response with the Utah Child Abduction Response Team, or CART. In the Utah Attorney General's office, the person leading our participation in CART is Sarah Lundquist, who is here with me to talk more about it. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Hi, no problem. Thank you.
So can you describe to us what CART is and what it does?
Yeah, so Utah CART is essentially a rapid response team for when the call comes, when an abduction happens. We have the ability to provide a lot of resources to any agency who may need our services. Not all agencies have access to a lot of these, and especially don't have access to the amount of officers we can provide and the different resources that we can offer them as well.
So take me through it. So if I find that my child is missing, I call 911. The police come out and perhaps start creating a report, gather some evidence. Then does the law enforcement responding agency notify CART right away, or is there another mechanism that gets the team rolling?
So it can be a couple different ways, depending on what that agency's knowledge is of our existence. We have several participating agencies who already are aware of what we provide. Some will contact us before they even issue the Amber Alert. Some contact us after. And in some cases, we're not contacted. But if we hear that there's an Amber Alert or get the Amber Alert or hear that there's a missing endangered advisory, we will also reach out to that agency and offer our services.
Okay, so the Amber Alert happens independently. That's almost an immediate thing through the law enforcement agency and dispatch.
Yes, they would actually activate and request the Amber Alert from the Amber Alert coordinators, but those coordinators are also a part of our team as well. We have a very open communication with them.
And all this is happening very quickly, it sounds like. This is all happening, and then CART responds. When you do you actually show up on the scene where the family is, or do you mobilize in a different way?
No, it would be different. We don't actually want to draw attention to where the family is. We want to keep that separate. We do provide officers and support and different mechanisms for interviews for the family itself. That is an actual assigned position in CART, but we would go to wherever the Emergency Operations Center is decided to be, whether that's at the PD or Sheriff's Office or some other location that would be more appropriate.
And then does CART offer resources to the investigation of this case that wouldn't ordinarily exist within the law enforcement agency that took the original call?
Yes, potentially. And it depends on their needs, whether or not we activate the whole team or not. But we provide different sections. Essentially, we break it down into intelligence, investigations, search, and logistics, as far as the different resources we provide. And there's different resources within those sections that are very specialty assignments that they may just need more bodies, or they may need specific search resources or access to certain software that they don't have, all sorts of different things.
So the CART response team exists to add additional resources at a time when the law enforcement agency that's responding doesn't necessarily have it. Is this something that was formed, as a result of a case where they discovered that they needed more resources, or this is something that's happened through experience dealing, unfortunately, with these kinds of abduction, child abduction cases?
So early in the 2000s, there was a study done, it's called the Washington State Study, and they were looking at stats that involved child abductions and whether those children were murdered or not and the timelines which those happened. And what they figured out is that a rapid response team is really the best way to handle that, because the sheer volume of personnel that they may be providing and the resources, of course. They found that if those abducted children that were murdered, they were usually murdered within 3 hours of the abduction. So the quicker the response, the better. And having a team that's ready to go, ready and is on call and ready to show up as quick as they can is a really good thing, because they've already been trained and have assigned tasks and they know what to do when they show up.
That as a parent, whom luckily parents don't really have to think about this in a large way, but as a parent, it seems like it would be a relief to know that this kind of resource exists, because you can see a parent looking around at a police car driving down the street and saying, well, why aren't you looking for my child? Why aren't you looking for my child? Why aren't you looking for my child? This has an effect of multiplying the people that are doing it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And again, we have the mechanisms and the specific assignments to ensure it's organized and done in a way that's efficient and can also be the overall agency that can help organize other law enforcement that's showing up to help. We would never take over an investigation. We would only be there to assist and do at the request of the agency that's asked for us to activate.
So are the members of the CURT team that are part of the Attorney General's office, is this all Attorney General's officers that are involved? Or do you also bring in other agencies and sort of like spearhead their participation as well?
Yeah, we're the agency that runs Utah CART, and all of our investigators are a part of the team. And a lot of them have some of the main coordinator positions because we're able to do and handle that training a lot easier in-house as well. And we know that our participation is going to always be there, whereas we have agencies that may come and go based on their availability. But we do actually have multiple agencies as a part of the team, and we're always looking to add more. We currently have 26 agencies that are participating in some way. It's about 160 officers. We've had historically between 150 and 200 officers as a part of the team, and that includes some civilians as well that are affiliated with law enforcement in some way. We're actually working right now to spread out more throughout the state to truly be a state team and not just something that can respond only in the main Wasatch.
Have you worked out a way to handle the power structure so that you don't have the kind of the power dynamic or who's actually in charge? Is there something in place to facilitate, you know, this transition to make sure that everyone's on the same page?
Yes, we have a protocol that we use that specifically outlines what each role is of every person. And there's a memorandum of understanding signed for every participating agency. So that eliminates the question. Like I said, there are times when they may ask us to help more than others as far as the resources stay on longer. There may be times that we defer to the FBI because they have a different style of response as well. It's more of a collaboration. We're there to just assist and be there as long as needed and asked to be there. We would never impose on an agency. We would hopefully work in tandem. And if there were issues that arise, that actually is part of our protocol, is that we will work through those at the easiest and lowest level that we can before trying to get it to be a problem.
Sometimes that's a factor because you get into some of that dynamic and it kind of slows down the actual investigation while everyone's sorting that stuff out.
Right. And I think it's good to, if you can keep positive relationships with the agencies anyway, that can eliminate some of those problems as well.
It's interesting to note that the CART program is certified through the Utah Department or the United States Department of Justice and the Office of Justice and Delinquency Prevention. This is a matter of pride for the office. Does this offer a certain amount of surety for the victims of a child abduction, the potential victims?
Yes, absolutely. In order to be certified, you have to go through a certain amount of steps and maintain certain data, maintain certain levels of training. You can have that initial certification, but that doesn't mean you keep it. Every year you have to be recertified. And so knowing that there's a certified CART team responding, they've gone through training to know what it is that their job is, what the goal and the mission is of the team, it helps a lot. And we received our first certification in 2010, and we've been continuously certified every year since then.
So when is the last time CART has actually been utilized?
Most recently, it's been partial call-outs. We haven't had a full activation in a few years. I would say one of the more prominent activations was also a partial call out, and it was the abduction of the young girl in Roosevelt, Utah, a couple years ago.
Right, that was an ICAC case also.
Yeah, because ICAC is also a part of the AG's office and therefore part of CART. They determined it was ICAC services that they needed the most, and so we worked actually remotely with that agency in order to assist in getting help and locating her. We had resources and contacts to reach out to Meta, which was the platform that was used to facilitate her abduction. Through that contact with them, we were able to get some pretty quick information and location data and find her within a few hours.
So from your experience, it used to be that the child abductions would be something, although the scenario would be something like a group of children are playing in a playground, and then there's some creepy person that, you know, that captures the child or something like that. But now it's all, a lot of it's online, isn't it?
Well, and actually that first scenario has never been the actual case. Most abductions happen, by somebody that is known to the child, somebody the child trusts. There are stranger abductions, but that, again, those are the minority. Now, I will say that we have had a couple that have begun from online activity. The juvenile is actually going with somebody they think they know because they talk to them online. So while it's voluntary, it's really not. They've been groomed, they've been tricked, and we've actually had two specific cases involving the Oculus, which is the virtual reality glasses that parents don't realize you can stay online through those glasses. So even if they try to do the right things, kids would still have access to the internet. And that's how they've actually stayed in contact with their eventual abductors.
Okay. So our CART officers haven't been utilized in full. That means that our certification is a little bit different. How does that work? You do the, what you call the tabletop certification. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's two different ways to maintain a certification. And one is a call out, whether partial or full activation. And then if you don't have one of those, is to do a tabletop. And that's essentially having a large gathering of the team, and you work through a mock scenario, just like, say, over tabletop. You're not out in the field doing it, but you are just sitting in a group and working through with some official trainers, potentially through NCJTC, the National Criminal Justice Training Center, or we can host our own and come up with our own scenario, as long as we're keeping that training up for the agency and working through a mock activation. That will assist in keeping that certification.
So just to sort of underscore this, this CART team isn't an entity that you call. It's an entity that gets activated after a case is already established. Is that right?
Well, they would call. We are invite only. So we will call an offer if we haven't already been asked to assist. But if we are asked, we will go. When it comes to an Amber Alert, they can just reach out to me, and being the coordinator of the team. If it's a missing endangered and endangered advisory for a child, we reach out to our chief of investigations for approval. And generally speaking, he's always approved. And then we'll go out and assist.
So how did you get to be involved as coordinator? It sounds like as a coordinator, you have to have a certain amount of passion for it. And it seems like you do. What is it that got you personally involved in CART and then as coordinator?
So as far as the structure of the team, the coordinator, through the history of it, has usually been a member of ICAC, due to most likely the similarity of the types of cases we could be dealing with, although the whole AG's office is involved, obviously. So the coordinator's position has always been within there, as is the assistant coordinator. And several years ago, I was asked to be the assistant coordinator. And then when our coordinator retired, I took that position over.
Okay. So it sounds like it's working out, and your duties for ICAC obviously keep you very, very busy. And then this potentially could happen on top of things that you're already working on.
Yes, in reality, this really could be a full-time position. It just happens to be a part-time one, in secondary to my current full-time duties.
Okay. Well, no one wants to have to utilize the resources, but I think it's really, really good for people to know that the resources exist, and that the Attorney General's office is using CART for the betterment of the safety of children, in addition to using the ICAC resources as well. So thanks for being a part of it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coordinating everything. And thank you for joining us on Legally Speaking. We'll talk to you next time.